Life Lessons from Biblical History. The Story of Joseph, Part 2. Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons was Joseph. We read last week that Jacob blatantly favored Joseph, which caused his brothers to hate him. We also read that God gave Joseph two dreams about how he would one day have leadership and authority, and how Joseph misused those dreams to humiliate his brothers, which made them hate him all the more. So they pretended he was dead and sold him into slavery, where he went from a son to a slave to a prisoner, after having been falsely accused of a crime. Well, it seems God has failed to keep his word. But that was not the end of the story, because the very next word in the story is the word but. So let's continue with this story, Genesis 39, verse 20. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Now that's a little phrase there, those five little one-syllable words. But those five little one-syllable words make all the difference between tragedy and victory, between sorrow and joy, between life and death, between heaven and hell. The Lord was with him. Joseph had lost his family, his home, his reputation, and his freedom. He had lost pretty much everything. But he hadn't really lost anything at all, because it says the Lord was with him. Far, far better to lose everything and have Jesus than to have everything in this world and not have Jesus. So because of that little phrase, the Lord was with him, we know that this story is going to have a happy ending. It was a bitter beginning, but it's the end of the story that matters most. So we know the Lord was with him. But the Lord doesn't just show up and do nothing. He always brings blessings with him. It says the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Well, that's something very concrete, favor in the eyes of the warden. Next it says, so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Well, that is interesting. Even in that miserable place, Joseph's dreams are beginning to be fulfilled. Not as he imagined. Instead of authority over his brothers, he has authority over prisoners. Then it says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph. There is that most meaningful phrase, the mother of all phrases, the Lord was with him. Because without that, we have nothing. And with that, we have everything. The Lord was with him meant that whatever he was going through, whatever dangers, whatever threats, or whoever wished him ill, Joseph was completely and absolutely safe. Because no matter how many enemies he had, God outnumbered them all. Then it says, not only was God with Joseph, but he gave him success in whatever he did. God's blessings were on Joseph, and his blessings are never without good effects. Well, someone might say, well, big deal. God may be blessing his labor in that prison, but he's still in a miserable prison. So big deal. Well, it is a big deal, because it was God's chosen faith and character-building training ground for Joseph. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knows just what faith and character building training grounds are best for each of us, for him to make us who he wants us to be and conform us into the image of his son. I'm sure Joseph would have preferred to learn those lessons in the comfort of his own home and neighborhood. Instead, God says, this is the place. First it was in Potiphar's house, then it was in prison. And you know what? When we have a difference of opinion with God about what our training ground should be like, you know who wins that argument? Yes, that's right. And he wins every time. So Joseph's training ground was prison. But God had no intention of keeping Joseph one day longer than necessary. Not one moment. So let's continue. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now, this is a key exchange here. This is proof that in spite of all Joseph has gone through and all his disappointments and the difference between what he imagined God's plans for his life would be and what he was presently experiencing, in spite of these challenges to his faith, he had not lost his faith. Because when hearing these prisoners had dreams, he would have said, "Yeah, I had dreams too, but they didn't mean anything. I'm clueless about interpreting dreams." Instead, he says, "Tell me your dreams." That's important, because while at the same time, two different things are happening with the challenges God leads us into and through. On one hand, we have an adversary who's hoping very much that our trials destroy our faith. Well, at the same time, God is intending that these trials build and purify our faith. And we'll revisit that principle later. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." "Well, this is what that means," Joseph said to them. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcefully carried from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what that means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of the officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put a cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Another disappointment. Chapter 40. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And the things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Wow. When the time of testing is over, how quickly God elevates us. He was quickly brought out of there. Essentially, God says, "Joseph is done with this training. Get him out of that prison." And it happened in a moment. He was brought out. We will continue the story next week. But this chapter of Joseph's life was behind him. In essence, God said, "You have passed the test. I'm moving you up, way up." But what if Joseph had said, "God, this is all just too unfair that I should be wronged in this way"? And what if he'd given way to bitterness and despondency and stopped trusting and following God? What then? We'd be reading a very different story about Joseph, and it would not have a happy ending at all. But more next week.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future. future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.